Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our inspiration article on page 44. We're talking about Disneyland and I have two panelists in the studio with me today. First, welcome Hazel.
Well, hi everyone. Disneyland is a great place, the happiest place on earth.
That's right.
That's what they say, so we should have a happy time today.
Well, have you been there?
Yes, a number of times.
Okay, and did it feel like the happiest place on earth?
It's happy most of the time, but not when you're waiting in line and it's hot.
So, or paying for some of the food, right?
That's right. But it is a great place.
It's a magical place. And we also have Campbell. Welcome, Campbell.
Thanks, Brandon.
Have you been to Disneyland?
Yes, I have, and I actually worked at Disney World for a summer.
Okay, so Disney World is in Florida, in Orlando, Florida.
That's right.
What did you do there?
I worked in the fast food area, so selling that really overpriced food.
All right. Did a lot of people complain about the prices?
No, not at all.
they were just happy to be there. Yes, because it's the happiest place on earth.
Yes.
Well, of course, Disneyland, there are different Disneylands. This one, of course, the first one is there in Anaheim, California. Disney World is in Orlando, Florida. And there are Disneylands all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Disneyland Hong Kong.
Yes, that's a fun place as well.
So there's lots of fun to be had all around the world because Disneyland is in many places. Well, the title of our article is Disneyland, How It All Began. So we're going to have a history lesson about Disney, Hazel.
Sounds good to me.
And the deck says the little theme park that could, and of course, if you know the story about the little engine that could, that's talking about an engine. And as you read the story, the engine, you always hear a voice saying, I think I can, right? And so it teaches us that you can do things that maybe you think you can't do it, but you keep thinking positive.
Right.
You're able to.
So the little engine was a little train on a track that was having trouble making it up the hill. But he could do it.
That's right, and there is a Disney version of that, and so that kind of all connects here in our deck there, the little theme park that could, because as we read this history lesson about Disney, we see that things didn't go well at first, but in the end, of course, now Disney is a great attraction. Many people go there every year, and they make a lot of money, Campbell.
That's right. So this article is actually very inspiring, which is why it's in our inspiration topic, and we will see how they were able to come back from a big setback.
That's right, and it's a good time of the year to be inspired. It is the end of the year. It's almost New Year's Eve, and so maybe many of you are planning to go to some New Year's Eve parties and so forth. Well, we hope that you're inspired to start a new year as we learn about Walt Disney and Disneyland. If you have your magazines, please open them to page 44, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Disneyland, How It All Began. The Little Theme Park That Could. Disneyland's opening day, July 17, 1955, was a nightmare. Rides broke down, restaurants ran out of food and drink, and drinking fountains were in short supply. Long lines formed at bathrooms. Bunting hid unfinished attractions. Women's high-heeled shoes sank into the fresh asphalt. All in front of a national audience of 90 million, then the largest live broadcast in television history on a day that would be known in Disney lore as Black Sunday. But Disneyland's story actually starts two decades earlier with what Walt Disney called Daddy's Day.
All right, so Campbell, when did Disneyland open?
Well, Disneyland's opening day was July 17th, 1955. And, well, when we think of Disneyland or Disney, we often think of dreams coming true. But for Disneyland's opening day, they say it was a nightmare.
All right, so that's a clever way to open up the article, because as you said, we do think of dreams and a magical place when we think of Disneyland. And here they say, well, it was a nightmare on opening day. And, of course, that was just over 60 years ago. They celebrated their 60th anniversary this year, and there were a lot of festive things going on this year. They had a special parade, and they had a special water show and so forth that's been going on during this year and during this celebration. But going back to that opening day, it was a nightmare, and what do we learn in the next paragraph, Hazel?
Well, everything went wrong. At least many things went wrong. Rides broke down, restaurants ran out of food and drink, drinking fountains where you could just have a drink of water were in short supply. There weren't enough of them. So I'm sure they learned a lot of things mm-hmm. from this list that goes on and on. Long lines in bathrooms and unfinished attractions that needed to be hidden with fabric or bunting.
Mm-hmm.
Even women's high heels getting stuck or sinking into the fresh asphalt. So
that would really
be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
That sounds kind of scary, I guess, if you're in high heels. What does that mean? The high heels, they sink into the fresh asphalt. Were they stuck there for a long period of time?
Potentially, you know, because when you put down fresh asphalt before it hardens or before it solidifies, it's very soft, actually. Like here in Taipei, sometimes when I park my scooter, they might have just laid the new asphalt on the street, right? And then sometimes my scooter will sink into it and create a dent in the asphalt. And I'll think, oops.
Or sometimes pieces of the asphalt, it sticks to your shoes. You know, whether you have high-heeled shoes or not, thank God you're not stuck there, but you bring a part of the road with you. And so maybe, you know, they weren't actually stuck there, but the shoes were kind of, it was very sticky and very problematic.
Well, that's a good lesson. Never wear high heels when you go to Disneyland.
Yes, why would you be doing that?
They didn't know how much walking you would do, I guess.
Right. All right, well, so they did not have a good opening day. There are lots of problems. Well, you see next, all of this happened in front of a national audience of 90 million. And so they had a live broadcast on television, and everyone could see what was going wrong there, right?
Uh-huh.
It's interesting, too, that was the biggest national audience, 90 million viewers. So it was a live broadcast. If you make a mistake, it's too bad. You mm-hmm. can't redo it. But the largest audience in TV history at that time, that's pretty amazing.
That's a lot of people, 90 million people to tune in for something like that.
Right.
And so, you know, they had, I guess, advertised enough for people to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll learn more about that later.
That's right.
But we also see the word lore here, and we also see the phrase Black Sunday. And so, Campbell, what is the word lore? It says Disney lore.
Well, a lore is just a story that's been passed down through generations. So this is kind of a story that's gone down in history mm-hmm. of what happened that first day in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it would have been one thing if it just happened, but because it was on TV, it was just that much worse.
That's right. And people called it Black Sunday. That's what people have been calling it for many years. And so that's why they use that term lore there. It's been passed down. And when you think of Black Sunday and you look at what it's talking about here, what do you think that means, Hazel?
Well, black could mean something that didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Very horrific, mm-hmm. terrible. So we think of a dark side of something. So Black Sunday, it was just a very bad day, a nightmare of a day on that Sunday afternoon or mm-hmm. when it was all on TV and everybody could see live the things that went wrong.
Yeah, it's a huge contrast to what we think of Disneyland being today, such a pristine place that's, you know, often just clean and very perfect, you know, but it was a nightmare, as they started saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. When you go to Disneyland, everything is in place. You know, they go to this great effort to make sure everything is done perfectly because, you know, they have this atmosphere that's magical, and that's their thing. You know, they want to do that, but it didn't start off that way. We've learned here at the beginning about the bad things that happened, but now we're going to go even further back and see the vision that Walt Disney had. And so in our next paragraph, it says Disneyland's story actually starts two decades earlier with what Walt Disney called Daddy's Day.
Aww.
That sounds great if you're a father and Camboy is a father.
Yes, that's. I mean, that sounds wonderful. I love having Daddy's Day and being able to hang out with my children and play with them.
What do you sometimes do on Daddy's Day?
I take them to the park and we just kind of walk around. I mean, they're still little, so there's not too much they can do, but they do enjoy going to the park and walking around.
All right.
Yeah.
Spending quality time.
That's
right. So that's great. So what was Daddy's Day? Let's find out in our next reading.
The backstory. On Saturdays in the 1930s and 40s, Disney would take his two daughters to ride the Griffith Park merry-go-round, which they'd enjoy while he sat on a bench dreaming of ways for families to have fun together. Disney despised the amusement parks they often visited, seeing them as dirty, unimaginative places run by surly employees. He thought he could do better. In 1939, he asked two animators at his movie studio to work on a plan for an amusement park. The pair spent 6 weeks visiting parks around the country before drafting a proposal that included many elements that would ultimately end up in Disneyland.
Okay, so now we're getting to the backstory, which the things that have happened to someone before you first see or read about them in a film or story. And so sometimes a movie comes out and you want to know the backstory. What are the details? How did they create everything? And what about the characters or the actors involved and so forth? So here we're learning more about Walt Disney and how Disneyland started. What happened on Saturdays in the 1930s, Hazel?
Well, in the 1930s and 40s, he would take his two daughters to ride on a merry-go-round at a place called Griffith Park. And they'd enjoy that. And while they were on the merry-go-round, he was sitting on a bench just dreaming of different ways for a family to have fun together.
Okay, and a merry-go-round is, of course, that thing you see with animals on it, and not real animals, of course, but it's very colorful, and it kind of goes up and down.
Yeah, we see a picture of that on page 44, the two children right there. They're sitting on some horses on a merry-go-round, and it goes around and around, which is why it's called a merry-go-round.
And sometimes you'll hear it called a carousel.
Yes. That's right. So they were there at Griffith Park, and they were having, you know, the kids were having fun with their father, Walt Disney, and they were enjoying their time together. And what was Walt Disney doing there?
Well, while the kids sat on the merry-go-round, Walt Disney sat on a bench dreaming of ways for families to have fun together.
All right, so he was inspired by what was in front of him. He began to dream, and he was thinking, you know, what is a way that, you know, families can come together at a place and have a lot of fun? So obviously they already had some, you know, places to go, but he wanted to improve on that, right?
That's right. In fact, the word despised, he despised the amusement parks they often visited.
That's a strong word. I don't usually think of despising an amusement park.
He just hated the places where they went, and usually, you know, you think of an amusement park as a fun place, a happy place, but these places seem dirty, unimaginative, and sometimes run by employees or characters that didn't seem safe to be around.
Maybe they were
or
unfriendly.
Just cheaters or, yeah.
So that's surly, the word surly,
it says.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Surly means that they are just often in a bad mood. They're not very nice and they're not very kind. So, yeah. And it's interesting that they talk about unimaginative, because if you know about Walt Disney, he's all about the imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes they call his employees imagineers. You know, they engineer things from their imagination.
That's right. So he saw all of that and he didn't like it and he thought, well, I can do something about this, right?
Right. I could do something better is mm-hmm. what he thought.
So what did he do in 1939? Well, he asked two animators at his movie studio to work on a plan for an amusement park. So here we see that he was already, you know, doing a lot of creative things because he had a movie studio.
That's right. So we know that Walt Disney is famous for creating Mickey Mouse and other characters like that. So he had already had his movie studio, and Mickey Mouse was already a popular character at that time. And so he asked two of his animators. Animators are people who draw cartoons and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he asked two of them to work on a plan for an amusement park.
All right, and so they spent some time visiting different parks around the country, and then what did they do, Hazel?
Well, they spent 6 weeks visiting parks around the country, and then they drafted a proposal that included many elements that would ultimately end up in Disneyland. So they sketched out ideas, they gave Walt Disney a proposal, and it included many of the ideas that we know today.
Yeah, if you draft something, maybe you draft a plan, you put some ideas down on paper and you propose it, meaning that you have a meeting and you talk about it, and if it's a proposal, this is what you want to do.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of fun to be reading and learning how this all began. You know, it's, you often go to a place like Disneyland and you don't think too much about, like, well, how did this come to be? You know, it's pretty fun to realize, well, hey, all of this was just someone's idea at one point.
And it wasn't just one person. You think, of course, Walt Disney gets most of the credit, and he is the visionary, but there were other people involved, which is often true, if not always true. If anything's very successful, there are many people involved.
That's right. And they had a lot of great ideas, because we know when we go to Disneyland or Disney World, it's just amazing. We just wonder how in the world they thought about these ideas, and maybe this was one way. They visited many amusement parks, probably took some good ideas and added their own.
That's right. All right, well, we're going to move on to 1948. Let's read about that next.
In 1948, Disney laid out his vision for a Mickey Mouse park. The plans called for an old-fashioned town square, a city hall, a fire station, an opera house, a movie theater, and historic vehicles plying a main thoroughfare. By 1952, the idea had expanded into a $1.5 million amusement park proposal that he presented to Burbank, California officials. The 16-acre park would feature rides on a spaceship, a submarine, and even a paddle wheeler. The city council, which feared such a project would create a carny atmosphere, rejected the proposal. Disney counted the rejection as a fortunate setback. By now, his dreams for a theme park had exceeded the space available in Burbank.
Okay, so we just learned that there were some people who went around the different theme parks and they drafted a proposal. That was in 1939. Now we're in 1948, and Disney, he laid out his vision for a Mickey Mouse park. What is that about, or what was that about, Campbell?
Well, the Mickey Mouse park was just his first draft, or his first ideas for this park that eventually would be called Disneyland. And the plans called for an old-fashioned town square, city hall, fire station, opera house, movie theater, and historic vehicles plying a main thoroughfare.
Okay. All right. So there was much involved there, and you can see he was using his imagination. As we learned earlier, he was looking at that other theme park, Griffith Park, mm-hmm. and he said it was dirty, unimaginative, and the employees were very unfriendly, and so we see that he was using his imagination here. Let's talk about some of those words there. First, that word plying. The vehicles were plying through a main thoroughfare. What does that word mean?
Just going back and forth.
Okay, mm-hmm. all right. And then the word thoroughfare is, of course, the main road is for public use, and so you can think of maybe a main street, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. They're going through the theme park.
Right. Actually, it's funny that you said main street, because actually these ideas here, it sounds like a lot, but this is actually only one part of the whole park, mm-hmm. called Main Street USA. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this old town feel, small town feel USA, and it's just this one section of the park that you see right as you enter into the park.
You see a picture of it there at the top of page 44. There's a horse there, a horse-drawn streetcar, and it carries passengers down Disneyland's Main Street USA, and it's been doing that since 1955, Hazel.
I was just thinking how long it was from the time he sent employees out to observe other amusement parks, and then the time he drew up this first plan. That's 9 years, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. he's been thinking about this for quite some time. So
that's right.
Mickey Mouse Park took a long time just for that section to get it going.
Well, you would think it would take some time to come up with something like Disneyland, because mm-hmm. it is pretty amazing.
Right.
Yeah. There are lots of details That's involved right. when you think about just the characters and right. the rides and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, it's a huge project. And so we learned earlier it took him 2 decades to go from an idea to actually opening day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, by 1952, the idea had expanded into a $1.5 million amusement park. So he was thinking of Mickey Mouse Park, but then he continued to improve that and think of new ideas and so forth. And so they proposed this idea to the Burbank, California officials, so the government officials there, and they wanted to build a park there, a 16-acre park. And what would be included in that park, Campbell?
Well, the 16-acre park would feature rides on a spaceship, a submarine, and even a paddle wheeler, which are all things that are still at Disneyland, I believe.
All right, and of course, a paddle wheeler is a steamboat, and so those were the things that he added, and it just continued to grow and grow, but the people there at the city council, they didn't really want this theme park, did they, Hazel?
No, they didn't. They thought it would create a carny atmosphere or a carnival atmosphere. And maybe they also despised some of those amusement parks that they had been to. And they thought of not only an amusement park they despised, but even a bigger one that they would despise.
Right.
And they just had the idea that it wouldn't work as a good family place. It
That's
would
right.
still have all the negative things.
Maybe kind of
it.
A noisy atmosphere. Or a place that they just didn't think would be good, maybe kind of dirty. It makes me right. think of a local fair. We have fairs in the United States, mm-hmm. and they are like that. They're not very clean. They just roll into town, and
yeah.
they're fun,
yeah.
but it's not a very nice atmosphere.
Right, and back then, I mean, the idea of a carny is just, you know, someone who's kind of shady, kind of surly, you know, not very nice, and the people who work at the carnivals often tend to be a little bit, you know, kind of strange. So I think that's what they were kind of worried about.
Since you worked at Disneyland for a while, or mm-hmm. Disney World, that's very opposite, isn't it, of the employees that they try to hire?
Sure. Well, actually, we were called cast members.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you had your dress code, and you mm-hmm. couldn't have an earring, and you couldn't have different things. And so it was they had their standards.
Right. Know? Very yeah. high standards.
So was it a very positive experience as far as working there?
Oh, sure. I think it's still one of my dreams to be able to go.
Wow.
And maybe when I retire, I can go work at Disneyland again.
And that they have, at least Disney World, don't they have like a whole underground thing for
that's
the
cast? Secret.
Not anymore.
Yeah, actually it was cool. There is a whole underground tunnel system, which I didn't know existed until I started working there, and it's cool. It connects the whole park, and you get to walk underneath the whole mm-hmm. the whole park, and that's how Mickey Mouse can get from one place to another
within minutes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
What I find interesting here is that the city council, they rejected this proposal, and you think of other people who have been successful. Many times they are rejected at first with whatever invention they have maybe or something like that, and so they don't give up, and that's an important point here.
Right, because most of the time with these very successful people, they're visionaries, you know, so they see things way before other people do, you know, and a lot of times people don't understand, and people think that it's crazy, you know, but they don't give up, and they keep pushing forward, and they end up very, very successful.
And we see an example of that next, because Disney counted the rejection as a fortunate setback, and that's such a positive way of looking at it. Many times if someone rejects us, or, you know, we have a proposal and people don't like it, we may want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But Walt Disney, he knew what he wanted to do. He's been working on this for years. He was not about to give up, and so he just saw it as a setback. And what is a setback, Hazel?
Well, something that puts you back. You have a plan, but then it doesn't work out. And so you feel like instead of going ahead, you've actually gone backwards in a certain way. But I like that word, fortunate setback. We usually don't put those two words together. But a setback can be something that turns into a success if you don't give up.
And he saw it like this because his ideas were growing. And he said, you know, the space available in Burbank, or the writer here says, there wasn't enough space anyway. So that's why it was a fortunate setback. Right?
That's right. So his dreams for a theme park had exceeded the space available in Burbank. So he wasn't confined to the space available in Burbank. He ended up finding a bigger place. And we know now that Disneyland is out in Anaheim, California. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we are coming to the end of day one of our inspiration article, and I hope you are already inspired by Walt Disney's story. And we have much more to talk about tomorrow. We hope that you will come back and listen again on New Year's Eve. Well, until then, this is Brandon.
Campbell.
Hazel.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.